Welcome to Pneuma Church Podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we all grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
God is speaking. This morning, there's a theme. Feels like he's recommissioning us, Pneuma Church. Return to your post. The battle is ours, the victory is ours. And we're going to stand in that. And that ties in beautifully to what I'm going to share this morning. I love it. The Holy Spirit speaks and there's this theme that's flowing through. And so let us have ears to hear. Amen. Amen. We're going to jump straight in and start in 1 Corinthians chapter 16. This is Paul, obviously, writing, he's writing from Ephesus at the time, and he has seen amazing things happen in that city. He has seen the kingdom advancing in Ephesus, which was absolutely extraordinary, because at the time, it was one of the most darkest and most powerful cities in the whole region, and yet the kingdom was taking ground through his ministry. But he was an apostle to the entire region, not just to the Corinthian church. And so some of the other churches, Christians from other places, were asking him to come. And this is his response that we read in chapter 16 from verse 8. It says, "But I will stay on at Ephesus until Pentecost, because a great door of effective work has opened to me. And there are many who oppose me." This is a troubling scripture, actually. one of the many. But Paul says there is this great door of opportunity, a door of effective work. And if you actually study this out, Paul is saying there's something that's uniquely available to me. It's a door that specifically has opened to me, and it is very effectual. It means that there is great fruit associated with this work. The gospel's going forward. The kingdom is advancing. Hallelujah. And it would be great to just end it right there. End the scripture there. Yes, we celebrate what God is doing. It's so good. But he goes on and says, "And there are many who oppose me." There is persecution, there is opposition to what I am doing, and there are great doors of opportunity, and both of those realities exist at the same time. There is forward momentum and there's pushback. The kingdom is taking ground and there is resistance to that ground being taken. So how does Paul continue to live and minister in the midst of this ongoing tension? Well, it's through the power of God that works through him. In Colossians 1:29, I love how he describes it. He talks about this energy that so powerfully works within me, this divine power that I feel that fuels my desire and my passion to see Christ preached to all. And that power is administered through the Holy Spirit who is now resident within. So the power of God is needed to take ground for the kingdom, and the power of God is required to actually withstand the pushback that comes with taking that ground. And just like it was for Paul, so it is for us. Pneuma has a heaven-breathed mandate to take ground, to advance the kingdom. And we need the power of God to see that mandate fulfilled. But I don't know if you've noticed it, but there's also an opposition to our forward momentum. And so we need the power of God to remain, to hold on to the ground that has been taken in the midst of the pushback. Pneuma Church was invited into a specific door of advancing the kingdom that was accompanied by a great move of his Spirit. It was significant. It is significant for our city. It is significant for our nation. It is unlike anything that has happened and is happening in our nation. I'm not sure if you're aware of that, but guess what? The enemy doesn't like it. And so we have been in a season of pushing back against that, of trying to maintain and take the ground that is ours, that He has given us. And so the word about being battle weary is actually really specific for us today. And God is calling us back to the post, like the captain of the army, back to the post, and is saying, come on, we're going to maintain that ground that we have taken, and we're going to continue to push forward into the prophetic destiny that is over Pneuma Church, and we're going to give our yes and amen to that. Just like Paul, we have great doors of opportunity, and there is resistance to our mission and mandate. And that's both on a personal and a corporate level. And so this tension of moving forward and pushing back has continually been highlighted to me as a leader in the church, and time again through my broader role with the ACC, the movement that we are a part of. I have opportunity to sit with leaders and pastors regularly, many of whom are actually going through various challenges. And we start to talk, and often I will hear something that sounds similar to this. It's like everything was going great. We were in a really awesome time. And then we decided to buy the piece of land adjacent to us, or we took out a lease on our own building, or we started to renovate the building, or we planted a church, or we planted a new campus. And it's like, oh my goodness, everything was going great, and then all hell breaks loose. And it's like, yep, there it is. The minute you start pushing forward, taking ground significantly for the kingdom, there will be pushback that accompanies that. You know, we want to see the kingdom of God advancing, amen? Taking more and more ground in our city and beyond. We pray, God, let your kingdom come, and we celebrate it when his kingdom is demonstrated on earth and overwhelming the darkness. Those moments when his power becomes so real to us. Oh, I love them. And we celebrate them and we say, yes, God, more of that. But alongside the breakthroughs we see, the church plants we celebrate, the intentions of God that we give our yes to, there is and will always be a simultaneous opposition to the kingdom. Why? Because there is a reality to the spirit realm in which we are operating. Ephesians 6:12 says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, against rulers, authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. I became aware of this really acutely, the pushback to advancing the kingdom, when we planted a church over 10 years ago back in Perth. And then again, 4 years later, we moved that church into its own building, and there was pushback, big pushback. And then we went to double services, and again, there was a spiritual war. There was a pushback. And then when we said yes and moved our family here to Melbourne, there was a pushback. And now God spoke on all of those occasions and we gave him our yes, but my goodness, we needed the power of God to be the reality from which we lived in order to withstand the opposition to that forward momentum. And if I can be really honest, I've actually underestimated it every time. I have underestimated the pushback whenever I have positioned myself to take more ground for the kingdom. I'm surprised by the warfare, probably because it often comes in ways that we don't expect. It often comes from those that we think we're unified with and walking forward into the promises of God. It comes through family and other ways that we don't necessarily have our eyes attuned for. I underestimated it when we planted a new church. I underestimated it when we moved into the new building, when we began to see breakthrough in people's lives, when we launched our discipleship school. Every time there was pushback, and I underestimated it. Amen. I don't know why. I don't know why I did that. Maybe it's because I'm a lifelong learner. Maybe it's just a bit of a slow learner. Whatever the case, maybe I'm just blissfully naive because I have this desire to just be focused on the vision that God gives. And so I underestimate the opposition that accompanies the breakthrough. But one thing about me is that when I become aware of something that is preventing either myself, my family, or my community from moving forward into its prophetic destiny, into taking ground, then I will be determined to gain insight. What's actually happening here? You see, insight can give you strategy, which is then birthed out of wisdom and then in turn gives you strength to keep pushing forward and remain steadfast in the midst of opposition. When we have an understanding of how the spirit realm operates, what's actually going on, we can be equipped, empowered, and positioned in the victory that is already ours in Christ. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 2:11, he says, "It's my duty to make sure that Satan does not win even a small victory over us, for we don't want to be naive and then fall prey to his schemes." You know, if we can fall prey to Satan's schemes, then we must continually ask ourselves, which kingdom am I partnering with in this war for his kingdom's advancement? Am I seeing his kingdom advance through this? Or is it retracting in my life or in this community? The answer to that might give you some insight. Despite the fact that I'm often surprised, I reflected on a passage of scripture this week that we're going to unpack. And I actually found that much of the opposition or the way the enemy comes against us is actually predictable. He will use the same pattern time and time again. Now, this is not about living with an unhealthy awareness of the enemy and what he is doing. It's about ensuring that we're not naive to his schemes that are identifiable and therefore are able to be overcome. We are in a battle. And you know what? Sometimes that battle can just be an internal one. As we seek, as Christ followers, as individuals, to be transformed more and more into the image of Christ. You know, there are times when I don't feel the markers of the kingdom, which Romans 14:17 tells us are righteousness, peace, or joy. And I'm sure there are times that you don't feel perfect peace or the fullness of joy, or maybe there's times when you don't believe that you are radically and unconditionally loved by God. And so there's this battle within to actually receive, to believe kingdom reality, because it's coming up against wrong patterns of thinking or maybe just stressful, painful circumstances. You've been focusing on the wrong things. It could be a myriad of things. And so the kingdom, while very real and trying to break in, is battling against our internal barriers, which is why Jesus says the kingdom of God is at hand. It's right there. It's closer than you ever have known before. But you must what? Repent. Turn around. Change the way you think. Change the way you actually understand so that you can enter it, receive it, and live from it. And so there's this internal battle, but the Bible also clearly talks to us about the fact that there is an enemy of his kingdom which is external to us. If there is light, then there must be darkness. And so, you know, I'm sorry to say, there's actually demonic opposition to our partnership with God to see his kingdom advance. We are in a spiritual battle in so many ways. But let us not be naive, like Paul exhorts us. So basically, to sum this up, if you are a Christian who desires to be transformed into the image of Christ, and if you are involved in seeing the kingdom advance upon the earth, then you are a part of this battle, whether you like it or not. I was at a conference a few years ago, and I heard this speaker say, "If you're taking any territory for God, there will be hell that comes against you." Often people say to me, "I just really feel like I'm under attack. The church is under attack. Numa's under attack." It's like, yeah, yep, you are. We are. Amen. You've discerned correctly. But let me also say, you can't just pray it away or wish it away, close your eyes and pretend it's not happening. But you do have tools and strategies to overcome. I actually think Christ likes co-laboring with us. May even say that in the Bible somewhere. When he teaches about the kingdom, he puts the onus on us actually to see it advance. He says, as the Father has sent me, now I'm sending you. All authority has been given to me and I give it to you, and to affirm it, here's my spirit. Here's my power that you need to push forward and to stand in the midst of opposition. You know, there's a whole chapter in Ephesians chapter 6 given to teach us about the armor of God. If Paul thinks we need armor, it must be because we are in a battle. But I want to show you what I discovered in this passage in 2 Kings chapter 6. And even though this battle happened in about 880 BC, the strategies that the enemy used to oppose the kingdom then haven't changed all that much. They're actually predictable. And predictability can actually help us be positioned in victory. So let's read 2 Kings chapter 6. Once when the king of Syria was warring against Israel, he took counsel with his servants, saying, at such and such a place shall be my camp. But the man of God sent word to the king of Israel, beware that you do not pass this place, for the Syrians are going down there. And the king of Israel sent to the place about which the man of God told him. Thus he used to warn him so that he saved himself there more than once or twice. And the mind of the king of Syria was greatly troubled because of this thing. And he called his servants and said to them, will you not show me who of us is for the king of Israel? And one of his servants said, none, my lord, O king, but Elisha the prophet who is in Israel tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom. And he said, go and see where he is, that I may send and seize him. And it was told him, behold, he is in Dothan. So he sent horses and chariots and a great army. And they came by night and they surrounded the city. So this is a story of a battle between two kingdoms, two kings that are at war. And what we see happen is that every time the king of Syria had a battle plan to camp at a particular place and establish a stronghold, a position where he could attack Israel from, the prophet Elisha receives insight into that plan and he feeds that information back to the king of Israel, which means that they can make sure that they reposition themselves and don't pass through that place of attack so that they're not vulnerable. Now, this troubles, obviously, the king of Syria. He thinks, okay, there's a traitor. There must be a mole here. Which one of you is actually working against me? But he's told, no, there's actually a prophet in Israel who's been receiving knowledge about your plans. He gives that knowledge back to Israel. And so you're just unsuccessful time and time again. Now, what happens after this gives us insight into how the enemy actively opposes the kingdom. Number one, the enemy will try to shut down the prophetic and remove its influence from the battle. The king of Syria wants to seize Elisha for the purpose of disabling his gift. It's so interesting that the king of Syria thinks, if I can physically seize or capture Elisha, then the supernatural gift would cease to operate. So not only does he have contempt for the prophetic and its purpose, he thinks he can use his earthly power and position to override the heavenly power and the reality that Elisha operates in. You see, the unseen realm that energized Elisha's gift was actually far more powerful than that of the king. But the king didn't have eyes to see what was really going on and got caught up thinking that his earthly position was the most important part of the story that was being written. May we never lose sight of the fact that actually this is God's story that we have been invited into, and his kingdom is more powerful and more important than our opinion and any position that we may hold. May we never lose sight of the bigger story. Otherwise, we will think the news of the day is what's really going on and find ourselves in an inferior and vulnerable position in this spiritual battle that we are in. Why is the prophetic so powerful in the battle? Well, it will act to comfort, protect, exhort, and encourage the people of God. In this case, the prophet exhorted or advised them, you need to reposition yourself so that you're not vulnerable to the enemy's plans. This revealed the heart of God towards them, which was to see them have the victory. Now, this is really important. Listen to this. When Elisha foretells the intended action of the enemy, The purpose is not to bring fear, not to bring despair, but to empower them. Come on, you need to move in a different way. Reposition yourself so you're not vulnerable to his tactics. God wanted them to be victorious. The prophetic is a marker that God is in operation amongst a people group. Paul tells us this in Corinthians. He says, when the prophetic is operating, and actually he says, when an unbeliever walks into your meeting and the treasure of his heart is revealed, they will say, surely God is in this place. Now, when you think about the fact that Israel had an entire armory available to them, but in what did they find the most powerful weapon? It was in Elisha's ability to hear from God, in the prophetic word telling them what is coming and instructing them to reposition. Elisha reveals the plans of the enemy, not so they can agree with them, but for the purpose of thwarting them. Now, let's not miss this. Again, they're not focused on what the enemy is doing, but rather on how God is leading them in order to protect them. And so how do they respond? They move. They realize, hey, we're vulnerable if we go that way. We have to reposition ourselves in order to be safe. The prophetic declares the intention of God is whether or not we are able to discern it and agree with it and make sure that we are not vulnerable in this battle that matters. You know, as a church, in every season and in every decision, we should be asking, what are the prophets saying? And what's more, how is that resonating within the fivefold graces that are established and are ordained here? How are we vulnerable to the plans of the enemy because we've been too focused on the issues of this realm rather than what is happening in his realm? What are the Lord's intentions? How is he inviting us to partner with what he is doing? And how then do we teach the people to enter into that reality? Church is built on the foundation of the apostle and the prophet. They're trying to get heaven's intention. And so we should be continually looking to that direction. What are they saying? What are those who have been positioned and ordained in ministry saying? How does that operate within the fivefold grace? You know, personally, when we receive a prophetic word, it often feels like a confirmation to something we either cognitively knew or we intuitively know. In a corporate setting like this, the prophetic resonance will be confirmed in the mouths of two or three witnesses. What is resonance? Well, if I could demonstrate it to you through your imagination. Imagine we had two big grand pianos, one on this side and one on that side. And I went up to this one and I held down the middle C key. Really, you know, for a prolonged period of time and as loud as I possibly could. Actually, what's happening is I am making a string vibrate in a certain frequency. If that was sustained for a long period of time, do you know that the piano on the other side of the room with no player would also begin to emit that same sound because the vibration of the C chord, the C key over there, would begin to actually move in the same way? That's resonance. That's resonance. And so when the prophetic goes forward, there is a resonance to it. There is a way that we can actually act in agreement with it. It makes a statement. The intentions of God rule here. They have influence here. They have power here. It releases an atmosphere that opens hearts and positions us in the now reality of heaven. That's why the battle for kingdom advancement means that we should steward the prophetic words that we have. Both personally and corporately. We have the corporate words on the wall for a reason. They have a resonance to them. They have the intention of heaven over them. And so we pray them, we declare them, and we make sure that we are right in the middle of what he says we should be doing. That's the power of the prophetic and why the enemy will try to shut it down in the battle. Second thing, the enemy will try to determine your position of vulnerability. Elisha says, I want you to go and tell me, where is he positioned? Where is Elisha? Because if I know that, then I can send men and I can capture him there. If the enemy can work out where he is, he'll be able to identify how he's vulnerable and design the attack appropriately. But, you know, if we actually think a little bit deeper on this, it reveals to us that actually the enemy is not omniscient, meaning all-knowing. He cannot read your mind. He cannot read your thoughts. Only God is omniscient. Only God knows the thoughts of man. So I suggest then that the only way the enemy can actually work out where you are is through your confession or your behavior, through what can be observed. Your actions and confession give your position of vulnerability away. And when the enemy knows that information, the battle then becomes about keeping you in that position of vulnerability to capture you there and inhibit any forward movement. And so what happens then, once he's kind of worked that out, thoughts start to be introduced, patterns of thinking that are not in line with the kingdom of God, thoughts about yourself, your position, your status, your church, thoughts about God, thoughts about others, and you start to, all of a sudden notice things. I didn't know that. Oh, I've not noticed that before. Negative things, things you've never considered. But you know what? They actually affirm your position. And when that happens, he's got you. You've been captured in a place of defeat. Let me give you a very simple example. You're going through a hard time and you feel like, you know, your language or your behavior demonstrates, I don't really want to go to church. Or maybe you've been offended at a person or a situation, and a thought comes, yeah, no one will miss you anyway, and yeah, you don't need to be there, or yeah, that person is wrong, and you're always right. What's just happened? The enemy's just found out where you are and captured you there. And so let me ask, where are you positioned today? What are your areas of vulnerability? They will be places that are not marked by the kingdom of God, righteousness, peace, and joy. And in the battle for kingdom advancement in your life, the enemy wants that knowledge and your confession is giving it away. So better you know it and move than become a captive in the place of defeat. We need to heed the call of Elisha, as it were, and repent, change our thinking, change our position so that we're safe in the midst of the battle. That's how we have the victory. The final point about the strategy of the enemy, he will attack under the cover of darkness. Verse 14 says that the enemy attacks at night when it is dark. How does that relate to our lives? Well, darkness reigns in any area where there is no light or accountability. It's an area where you find it particularly difficult to accept kingdom reality or to walk in the light. Often it's characterized by something you want to hide from others, you want to keep secret, you want to keep hidden. It could feel like fear or hopelessness or shame or pride. You know, pride often hides behind the veil of a false humility or an appearance of benevolence, which actually has an outcome that benefits you and not anybody else. But here's the thing. If you are in Christ, you are actually in the light, because John tells us that he is light and in him there is no darkness at all. And so if something is under the cover of darkness in your life, it must be because you have covered it over. Perhaps you think it's too painful to bring into the light, or you're too embarrassed to admit it's in operation in your life, or you just enjoy the benefit that it brings you. But the thing about light is it actually brings perspective, and it can show you how small something actually is in relation to the size of our God and his love. You know, perhaps for some of you, the battle for the kingdom taking ground in your life right now is about removing whatever that thing is from undercover. You know, let me just give you a little bit more truth this morning. When you call that out and into the light, bring it into the light, it actually loses its power or dominance over you. When it's hidden, you think that you're in control, but actually it's controlling you, because you have to keep walking in such a way to keep it covered over. And when you call it out, we disarm it, we separate ourselves from it and realize actually that was controlling me, and control is the opposite of freedom, and it was for freedom's sake that Christ set me free. But it is a journey and one that we have to be active in. We have to remain open to the voice of God. Continue to move out of positions of vulnerability, and then we will truly make sure that no weapon formed against us will prosper. And so these are the strategies of the enemy. let me just finish by looking at the response of those who were in the battle, because there's a couple of things we can learn there as well. Let's read verse 15. It says, when the servant of the man of God rose early in the morning and went out, behold, an army with horses and chariots was all around the city. And the servant said, alas, my master, what shall we do? He said, do not be afraid, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Then Elisha prayed and said, O Lord, please open his eyes that he may see. So the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Worship team, if you could join me back on stage. You know, there's two responses here to seeing the strength of the enemy demonstrated by the horses and chariots. The servant says, alas, translation, oh no, we are doomed. We are going to lose this. He's responding from a place of fear, which was the result of what they could only see with the natural eye. According to them, we're already defeated. But Elisha the prophet teaches him to see another reality, the true story that's being played out here. God, open our eyes to see the true story that's being played out over Pneuma Church. You're calling us back to our post this morning. And Elisha actually prays and his eyes are open and he says, wow, there's far more with us than against us. Elisha knew where the real power was to be found. And so he says, don't be afraid. Translation, don't make a decision about how to respond to this from a place of fear, but from a place of peace. Yes. Elisha's peace came from his insight into, hey, I know the true odds of this battle. He doesn't deny that there is an enemy, but he realizes the source of the power they need to overcome was found in the unseen. Hebrews 11, faith is the assurance of things you have hoped for, the absolute conviction that there are realities you've never seen. Through faith, we understand that the universe was created by the word of God. Everything we now see was fashioned from that which is invisible. This is an amazing passage of scripture. And again, we also read that Christ, through all things were created through Christ and are held together in him. So if what is seen finds its origins in the unseen, which is more powerful? Of course, it's the unseen. The spiritual reality of the kingdom. That's why we can't be naive. The peace Elisha had was actually a strategic offensive move. His response was not reactionary, but a calculated response based on the facts of the situation and the reality of the more powerful kingdom he was a part of. You know, this is exactly what Jesus demonstrates for us during his ministry. Same kingdom. The one that he taught about. It was his favorite subject. And we see it demonstrated through his life time and time again. Perhaps most pertinently in the boat when he's asleep. And the boat's taking on water and they think that it's going to go down. And he's just asleep, peacefully, in the front of the boat, demonstrating to them, this is the kingdom I'm a part of. And even if the boat goes down, I'm perfectly safe in his kingdom. I know where I've come from and I know where I'm going. And he demonstrates that in that way and also through washing the disciples' feet. They, though, want to wake him up and say, hey, don't know what's going on. That same kingdom was the one Paul lived to see advance and experience the opposition to its advancing. Great door of opportunity and lots who oppose me. It's then Paul who exhorts us to understand, hey, you're part of the same battle. Don't be naive to the enemy's schemes and put on the full armor of God. And actually, don't ever take it off. And make sure you listen to prophetic insight. Use the power of the Spirit that you have. And so may we respond to all that is going on, knowing the reality of a more powerful kingdom that Jesus ushered in for us in a greater and greater way. May our eyes be open to the reality that there are many more with us than against us. Because like the servant, the opening of our eyes will be the silencing of our fears. And so no matter where you are on your journey, you can take another step to see the kingdom come in a greater way in your life. And so let us stand together this morning, this afternoon now. Stand as a prophetic act that I am standing in the ground that I have taken and I'm actually going to return to my post. I am going to continue to see the kingdom advance in my own life and in this church, the life of this church. You know, we have been in a battle. We are always in a battle. It's been particularly present this year. But God is saying, hey, lift up your eyes, see what I am doing. You have the victory. Let's continue to push forward. Let's continue to advance His kingdom across the nations. That is the mandate on Pneuma Church. And for you individually, I don't know what it is that you are going through. Maybe you feel like you are battle weary. You've been battling fear. You've been battling anxiety. You've been waiting, praying for a breakthrough in the area of your family or your business, or perhaps there's a relationship that's particularly, you feel like you're in a battle over. Well, I believe that God wants to come and empower you again. He wants to fill you afresh with His Holy Spirit, that you may stand, that you may continue to see the kingdom take more and more and more ground in your own life, in this city, in this nation, and beyond. And so we are going to sing. We are going to sing this afternoon, and we are going to declare that He is our victory. Thank you, God.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. Now, we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that He, Jesus, demonstrated His love for us, that while we were still sinners, He died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that He gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in Him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with Him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in Him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that He is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that You are the Son of God. I thank You that You love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow You. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that You fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after You. I thank You that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at pneuma.church. Thanks for listening.